This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Our deepest apologies. I did not mean to interrupt you, Christine Lisi.
And finally, Walt Disney's last written words were, Kurt Russell. And no one is sure why, not even Kurt Russell.
Wow.
How about that?
That is a
great question. I'd be super curious about that if I were Kurt Russell. Thank you, Christine. Appreciate it, as always. There is something, Stugatz, that's funny about the Jets and the Browns. You are a Jets fan, and Mike Ryan is a Browns fan.
Mm-hmm.
And the losing is funny, the incompetence. They're very easy to laugh at. Baker Mayfield, we were telling you earlier, first quarterback ever to have four different coaches within 30 games. A lot of people are going to be wondering about Baker Mayfield today. But the thing to me about true organizational incompetence that makes it something to pay attention to beyond just the losses is the way that the Jets and the Browns have turned Le'Veon Bell and Odell Beckham into totally forgotten guys when you were talking about them recently as like the best you've seen doing something. And it's not just that their excellence goes there and gets diluted. It gets forgotten, like forgotten. Odell Beckham and Le'Veon Bell are players in the NFL right now that no one is paying any attention to because they've gotten to these historic losers who now turn them into historic losers.
A couple of years ago, if you asked fans which running back do you want for the next 10 years, they might say Le'Veon Bell. And if you asked them which wide receiver do you want, they might say Odell Beckham Jr. Think about that.
Le'Veon Bell is the most patient runner I've ever seen. And you remember what he looked like in Pittsburgh.
Of course. That's why I was so excited to get him when he came to the Jets.
He is just a non-factor.
It is easy to default and blame the Browns because Odell, we all agreed, was arguably a generational talent at that wide receiver for another bad team.
Mike, there's no disputing, okay? There's no one listening to this right now who could say that they watched Odell Beckham play in New York and didn't think he was excellent.
Right, but if we're going to blame the Browns, then what do you do with Jarvis Landry, who made a Pro Bowl or two with Miami and is still making Pro Bowls his two seasons with the Cleveland Browns? There's something going on here that doesn't make any sense. And even when the passes are perfect, and admittedly, Baker wasn't his most accurate last season, he's not doing anything. Since when has Odell Beckham Jr. needed a perfect pass to do anything? He had Eli Manning, and he is making such crucial drops. Like, that game was lost. Team deflated with that drop that he had yesterday against the Ravens. Not even shown on the red zone, they were so deflated. I don't know what's going on here.
I don't have a good explanation for you. I don't know that anyone in our audience has a good explanation for you on how you can make Odell Beckham disappear. I didn't think that I'd be watching football games outside of injury. I didn't think I'd be watching football games where it doesn't matter that Odell Beckham's on the field. You don't have to worry about him. He is someone who can be covered. And it's just crazy. He's gotten there and become a pedestrian receiver.
It's kind of Thursday feels like a blueprint game for this Cleveland
already?
Browns team.
It takes away
from the Ravens, who I think everybody figures is a favorite in that conference, and Cleveland had nobody playing in that secondary. Nobody. It was bad, but I mean, done, dusted, not even a question in that game, and now they have Joe Burrow on Thursday, and it's a must-win.
A blueprint game.
It's a must-win.
Week two is a blueprint game.
I can't explain what's going on with Odell Beckham, and I haven't heard any good theories.
And I can't explain what's going on with Le'Veon Bell. The last time Bell played for the Steelers in 15 games, not 16, he missed a game in 15 games, had 1,300 yards, had 9 touchdowns, caught 85 balls, had another 2 touchdowns. I mean, he was the best running back in the NFL. And since he's joined the Jets, he's been a complete disaster. Disaster.
Yeah, but I mean, running backs typically short shelf life. You can't explain in a way like he took time off from the game, his timing. Maybe this is a natural progression of what is an elite running back. We see that with fantasy football all the time. A guy that you could count on, all of a sudden the production starts going down. The Odell one is weird.
Chris Cody is in the chat saying that he wants to see the Saquon Barkley six-pack. He wants to see the Aaron Donald stomach. He wants to see the stomach of Georgia Tech's fat punter. That seeing Georgia Tech's fat punter is something that's confusing to me the last couple of years every time he jiggles his way onto the field, because it's not just that he's fat, he's also black, and it's like totally disorienting to see a fat black punter. It's like, wait a minute, give me the precedent for that, for fat black punter. Because I can't think of somebody other than Georgia Tech. I literally can't think of somebody in all my years watching football. I can't think of anybody who fits those two descriptions.
I think I saw Ndamukong Suh attempt a field goal once, and that's basically my knowledge of that.
Did he make it?
No, I think he missed it. Let me look.
I think he's 0-for-1.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Whichever way this comes back, did you know that Ndamukong?
You have to spell Ndamukong in your Google. There, Stu Gatz.
Yeah, put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Did you know that Ndamukong Suh was either 0-for-1 or 1-for-1 on field goal attempts?
Might have been a point after,
or whatever. Well, however it is, find it. Get me answers.
Either way, it was a chippy.
Basketball, incidentally, Stu Gatz, this is something that is going to haunt a little bit, because you've got Charles Barkley out here saying that James Harden is the best scorer in the history of the league, better than Michael Jordan, better than anybody. That James Harden is the best in the history of the league. Mm-hmm. And Kirk Goldsberry is here to tell you, he does excellent work with the numbers and the analysis of basketball, that Harden has now 8 times, Stu Gatz, shot below 20% in a playoff game. 8 times. If you take the combination of all the playoff games that LeBron has played in, that Durant has played in, that Kobe has played in, and that Michael Jordan has played in, combined, twice that's happened between all four of them, where they've shot less than 20% from the field in a playoff game. And now Mike D'Antoni quits in Houston. They've basically topped out in Houston, and there are going to be changes there, and that right there is going to stick to James Harden for a while.
Sue, 0-for-1. It was an extra point. It was against the Jets.
Okay, so 0-for-1.
Emergency kicker. Jason Hansen went down with an injury, and Ndamukong Suh came in his place.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
It was important. I mean,
that is very exciting. I was thanking Mike. I wasn't thanking you. I was thanking Mike for just sharing the
Well, thank you for Googling it.
I mean, I delivered it. I mean,
Okay, you want the thank you? Okay, you can have the thank
there's
you.
There's plenty of thank yous to go around.
You
I don't
want
need
the credit.
You,
the
no,
team is
no.
falling apart. This is how it always happens.
Thank you for thanking both of us.
Fight,
very nice of
a
you.
A fight over the credit is something that breaks up all the great rock bands, all the great sports teams. There it is. So we are thanking each other profusely. The Harden thing is interesting, man, Stu Gatz, because honest to God, that team was 1 game 7 just having a normal 3-point shooting night. Not a historically awful one, just a merely below average one from making Durant's Warriors an underachiever.
Right,
they were one game away from fouling all of that up by having a home game, game 7, and they had a ton of open threes, and they just happened to miss them.
And that thing stays together for a while if they can get through that game 7, get to the NBA Finals.
If they win that game, there's probably a little bit less change in Houston.
Yeah, it changes NBA history. Chris Paul's injury. And I don't even know if people are going to give it the appropriate context, which they should. That was a massive injury. Changed the fortunes of Chris Paul, the Rockets, James Harden, and the Warriors.
Can you look up for me, please, what Houston was from three in that game? Was it 7-for-49? I think at one point they had missed 19 straight threes, but it was some really hugely absurd number where if they had merely been below average, and they didn't even lose that game by much, if they had just been below average instead of historically awful from three in a game 7, so many things would have been different in sports history.
Let's go. My private jet isn't going to fuel itself.
We continue to request that you support the people who support us. Stu Gatz is having some difficulty with the internet. This happens to him on occasion. Granger, Stu Gatz, tell the people about Granger.
I'm trying to find that game 7. It was really bad. It was like 2 of like 30 or something like that. It was that bad. No, it wasn't.
No.
It was better than that? No, that was just Trevor Ariza.
50. There were 50 shots. Yes, I don't think Ariza made anything in that game. Well, I'll find the box score, and I'll just go through it in a second.
As you get back to business.
That is a tease.
If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami-only hour, and the Big Suey on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends podcast network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crepe. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
So toilet paper, what Billy is calling a toilet paper caper, is something that affected his fantasy football status this week. And we'll get to that in a second. But because I don't play fantasy the way that you guys play fantasy football, one of the great delights of week one of the football season is looking up and being like, ah, Jason Witten plays for the Raiders. Is that the same Jason Witten? Like, I was asking myself. And of course, they just threw one of those 3-yard passes to him that is going to be open until he's 80 years old, as he just runs out there, turns around, and that's always going to be open because you just can't get around him in order to do anything about it.
The first 10 minutes of my NFL red zone experience were just me trying to get a grip and recalibrate myself, because usually you have a preseason to get used to some new faces, some old faces in new places. Seeing Philip Rivers in that uniform for the first time ever took me a minute.
This Witten catch was 2 yards, not 3, okay?
He's aging. So Brady was obviously the one there. Brady was the one that we were all like, man, that looks odd in pewter. But the things that made an appearance yesterday, to remind me, right? Because I'd heard of the transactions, but I was then still somehow surprised by seeing those guys in the uniforms. Adrian Peterson with the Lions.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Graham with the Bears was another one that caught me off of guard. And as I mentioned, Jason Witten, I don't know, even with Tom Brady in a Bucs uniform, I don't think there was anything weirder than seeing Jason Witten running around out there
with you
for the patchy haired John Gruden. And what is John, like, honestly, what is John Gruden doing there? I mean, you can't get somebody else to run button hooks for you. How old is Jason Witten? He was in the Monday night booth, what, 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
Not much younger than Gruden, I don't think. You got to give Gruden credit, by the way. I'm telling you, this Vegas team is fun and entertaining. They put up a lot of points. Josh Jacobs is a very good running back. You got to give Gruden some credit. It's an entertaining football team.
They're in Vegas?
That was so confusing to me yesterday. Anytime I heard them say anything Vegas related, I always thought they were talking about sports books. Billy, what is this toilet paper caper you're talking about?
Dan, yesterday, as you mentioned, was the first week of the NFL, and it's also the first week of fantasy. Now, here on the East Coast, games start at 1 o'clock, as you know. So I made the mistake of going to the store at 12 noon on a Sunday. I only needed a couple things. I said, you know what? I'm going to be in and out, get my groceries. I'll be home. My wife won't have to go. I'll handle this for her. Everything will be great, right? So I go to the store at noon. I have the list. I'm going up and down the list. I call my wife. I say, hey, is there anything else that we need? Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but during the pandemic, there's been, you know, early on shortages of toilet paper, paper towels, et cetera, right? So I'm walking around doing the thing. I don't know how you guys go shopping, but I like to go up and down the aisles, make sure I don't miss anything, make sure I see what's on sale, what's not on sale. So I find all this toilet paper and paper towels. So I call and I'm like, hey, do we need any toilet paper or paper towels? Because they have some here. And I'm particular with my toilet paper. I like Angel Soft. I don't know if you guys like Angel Soft or what kind of toilet paper you use. So I find the Angel Soft. I call my wife. I say, do we need any toilet paper? She says, yes, we could use some toilet paper. I said, okay, great. So I get the toilet paper. I go to the self-checkout. Self-checkout is this new thing where you do it. Sometimes the line is shorter, but
self,
you kind of control the flow.
You do it yourself, yeah.
Right.
So I'm doing the self-checkout, but they have this weighted system where sometimes the thing has to stay on and sometimes it doesn't. And if it's not on, then it starts beeping and it doesn't let you scan things. It was this whole thing. So I get the toilet paper, I put it in the bottom shelf of the cart, I finish checking out, I'm good, right? I go into the elevator, it's in a parking garage, this particular Publix that I'm at. So then I go and I'm unloading all my stuff, putting it into the back of the car, right? It's like one of those little mini like SUV type things. Like, it's not like a big SUV, it's like, you know, like a mid-size SUV thing, right? So I'm putting all my stuff into the SUV and I I put everything in. I grab the paper towels. I put the paper towels in, and then I go to close it, and I'm looking in, and I'm like, wait a minute. Where's the toilet paper? I don't see the toilet paper, and I realize what's gone on here. I had my cart next to the car. There was an empty space, and then there was another car away, and I'd go, and I'd grab it, and I'd walk, and I'd put it in the back, and I'd go, and I'd grab it, and I'd repeat, right? And the toilet paper is gone, so I'm looking, is it in the cart?
Was it stolen?
Great question. That went through my head. So then what am I doing? I'm standing there very suspiciously eyeing all of the other shoppers that are in the area, looking into their cart, seeing do they have Angel Soft in their shopping cart? Where did this go? So then I notice the car in the space next to me has a door slightly ajar and very blacked out tinted windows. And then I say, could it be possible that when I was moving things in and out of the shopping cart, that someone got out of the back of this car, stole my toilet paper, went back in the car and didn't close the door all the way? Could that be? Is that possible? So then I'm like, that can't be possible.
That'll get you shot. That will get you shot in Miami if you open that door.
There's no way Billy questioned them, though. Even if he thought that it was stolen, that's just gone. He's not confronting them.
Okay, so then I start, I'm like, this can't be. So I look in the front seat as if I would have put the toilet paper in the driver's seat for some reason. Of course, it's not there. I look in the back row. It's not there. I look again. I go, where could this be? I start looking again, kind of like trying to...
Billy, where's the toilet paper? You tell me where the toilet paper is now. This story needs to end now. I don't want to hear any more about whether you're a mid-sized car or what kind. Just where is the ending to the story?
So I start looking into the back window, seeing is there someone hiding in this car with toilet paper, right? Because then that would be obvious they stole the toilet paper. I don't see that. So I put the shopping cart back. I back up the car. I'm like, I'm going to go back down. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. It has to have gone somewhere. It didn't. I look at my receipt. It sure as hell is on the receipt. I paid for this toilet paper.
Where's the toilet paper, Billy? Where is it?
Good question. So I back out my car in a way that the lights are shining into this suspicious car next to me so I could get a clearer look and see if there's someone hiding there. And I also think I got to move this car because if I go down into the store and someone stole toilet paper, they're going to take advantage and steal all of my groceries now. So I move my car across the parking lot and I park it firmly. Then I go, did I lose it in the elevator? Where could it be? So I go downstairs. I go to check the self-checkout. It's not there. It's not in the elevator. I go to customer service. And awkwardly, I say, hey, did someone turn in missing toilet paper at customer service, right? Mm-hmm. And what happens? Customer service pulls out a bag. I drop the toilet paper somewhere along the way. Now, here's the kicker. I get home. I'm putting away everything. We had a brand new roll of 12 toilet papers that my wife didn't know we had, so I didn't even need the toilet paper. In the meantime, I spent 20 minutes looking for the toilet paper caper, and I couldn't set my lineup.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Time to justify our unreasonable salaries.
There's not enough toilet paper in the world to clean up what you did to that segment. Lot to get to in this segment, okay? We've got the funniest thing from the sports weekend, and we've got the mispronunciation Suey, always a fan favorite. Basically, it's just Stugatz mispronouncing things. But before we get to that, and we've got to update you on Giannis's social media habits. We have an update. Wow. But before we get to that, Christine Lisi, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
And finally, a snake at the St. Louis Zoo recently made headlines by producing 7 eggs despite having no contact with a male partner for 15 years. While asexual reproduction without having to touch your male partner is rare, it is not unprecedented in the animal kingdom. How else would Stugatz have twins?
Yes! Oh, I see what you did to us!
Yes! Yes, that, you know, the joke there is you're disgusting. The joke is no one wants to touch you. You are foul, and especially foul, your nether regions. That's the joke.
I thought the joke was I'm a snake.
Thank you. Thank you, Christine, for being on with us. We will get to funniest thing in a second, but in honor of the mispronunciations, let's play one of the favorite songs around here. What does the got say?
I love that song.
I don't think there's been a more incompetent reader in the history of the broadcast medium. I really don't.
Well, thank you.
There can't be, right? Like, there can't be. Let's go ahead and segue from that into the Suey category from the last year, Stugatz mispronunciation.
Yeah.
And now, the SUI nominees for Best Stugatz Mispronunciation. Important.
Important.
Criminals.
Criminals.
Clean.
Please.
Appear.
Be.
Reprehensible.
Reprehep.
Aren't.
Are.
Anyone.
Anyone.
Virtually.
Virtually.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Regularly.
Regularly.
I was going to say.
I was just saying.
Eliminated.
Eliminated.
Any of that.
Any of that.
He doesn't want to. Most.
Most.
Hermaphrodites.
Hermaphrodites.
Pro ball.
Pro.
I mean. Earths.
And finally, 63 Earths. Earths. Earths could fit inside Uranus.
Butt soup.
Poopy poop butt butts. Butts cup for tampering.
Soup. Jeez. What are you? Butt soup.
Yeah, I should have read that first.
Everyone. Good luck voting in that category. Who's tabulating the votes? Is it Chris? Is it Billy? When are we going to announce, Chris, when are we going to announce the winners of the SUIs?
Tomorrow, Dan. After the votes tally for mispronunciation, we will have a winner's montage.
All right. Let's do funniest thing from the sports weekend here, oof, please.
Hey, people. Tell us what in the sport made you laugh hard this weekend. It is a segment we call What Made You Laugh This Weekend.
Funniest thing for the sports weekend is brought to you by Dell. Save up to 45% during Dell's semi-annual sale on business laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/business deals.
Let's see who we start with here. Mike, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
This Philip Rivers thing is unbelievable. How is it every Sunday? How is it with a new team? How do we always find ourselves here? I never want it to change.
Tony, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Watching Aaron Donald manhandle the strongest people on the planet like if he is, in fact, the strongest man on earth.
It's crazy, man. Ezekiel crazy. Elliott is not small. He just basically threw him at Dak. He just took him and threw him. Billy, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Poor Josh Rosen, Dan. He was drafted 10th by the Cardinals, traded to the Dolphins, waived by the Dolphins, signed with the Bucks, and yesterday he was in about the 8th or 9th row of the stands watching the Tampa Bay Bucks game.
Roy, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Cam Newton showed up to Gillette Stadium looking like a fire hydrant.
He did. He looked like Jim Carrey in the mask, the mustard-colored suit and the, I don't know, the bow tie, top hat. Chris, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Man, the Jets, the Lions, the Browns. I'm going to the Lions.
Yes,
yeah, the
Lions. The Lions, the yeah. Lions were funny. Stugatz, what about you? What do you have?
Mark Schlereth standing a foot taller than the plexiglass between him and Adam Amin.
That was hilarious.
Amazing.
I'm just going to go with John Gruden's hair. I don't know what happened there, but he needs to keep the baseball cap on because it is a patchy disaster.
Today is for doing, and today we celebrate emotional victories. The Washington football team 1-1 for Ron. What a great moment yesterday. And they haven't had many. But, man, Washington's football team had one yesterday. Head coach Ron Rivera, who announced his cancer diagnosis last month, had to have a previously planned intravenous treatment during halftime yesterday. So instead of him talking to the players, it was Dwayne Haskins, who kept his speech short and sweet. Find a way to win. Washington did just that as they won 27-17 over the Eagles, thanks to 8 sacks, 2 interceptions for the Washington defense, excuse me. Today is for doing, and it's brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. That's going to take me a minute.
Scott Hansen managed to go all of yesterday without making the mistakes Stugatz did. Some things are going to take a minute. The Raiders in Vegas, I still haven't gotten used to the Chargers not in San Diego, but Stugatz, this was funny. I'm just scrolling through box scores on my computer, and all the games say, they say Browns-Ravens, Bengals-Chargers,
right?
Dolphins-Patriots,
mm-hmm.
Eagles football team. It just says football team. Right. That's all it says. It looks like a typo. It looks like your computer's not working.
But they're 1-0 as the football team.
They are 1-0. Mike, what do you have for us? I'm a 51-year-old person who cares about journalism. And in 2020, journalism is checking Giannis Antetokounmpo's social media account.
We needed clarity because over the weekend, the eyes of NBA Twitter were on the suspicious behavior of one Giannis Antetokounmpo, who unfollowed teammates and most people on his Instagram account, now only following nine people or entities. So the big question is, after this was going on, there was a reported meeting between Giannis and Bucks brass, which begged the question, did Giannis unfollow his teammates before or after the meeting? Because that could change things. Woj reports that the meeting was on Friday. The unfollowing happened after that. Guys, Giannis is playing ball.
Open for business, Stugat says. We always learn about these things by sniffing around the social media account.
That's pretty amazing. Incredible, in fact. What does it mean?
No clue.
Okay.
Yeah,
None of us really know, but
this is fun, right?
It's got to be one of two things, though, right? Either they are trading Giannis in the offseason, right? Or he demanded that they trade every teammate.
Yeah, he got a commitment from the Bucks saying they'll go into the luxury cap, luxury tax to spend and improve the team. Remember, this is a team that missed Malcolm Brogdon, as evidenced by that series that they lost in five to the Miami Heat in. But for Giannis to finally, I think the big story here is Giannis is finally giving us the disgruntled superstar crumb we've been looking for, because he has not given us much. I mean, he has had as staunch a denial as you can have, repeatedly, too. So for him to finally be playing ball with disgruntled superstar self on social media, thank you, Giannis. Thank you.
This is where we are. It makes me both sad and happy.
Oh, only
that
happy.
We can speculate wildly here about the transaction. The Bucks felt like they won the offseason. Different Bucks, Tampa Bay Bucks, felt like they won the offseason, Stugatz, when they landed. Did Gronk do anything yesterday? Was Gronk better or worse than Jason Witten's one catch for 2 yards? Because I'm asking that question innocently. I was in and out of that game, so I don't know
He had two catches for 11 yards, yeah. Gronk did.
O.J. Howard was a more productive Bucks tight end.
Yes.
One of the things that's always evasive, right? You pick against Tom Brady at your own risk, and you're wrong the last several years, thinking he's going to age like other quarterbacks have aged, thinking that at any point in his 40s, he would succumb. But this is all recently what aging quarterback looks like. It's not that he can't bring it occasionally. It's that he brings it less and less often. I've seen some lists from advanced metrics guys that put him at 17th, Stugatz, among quarterbacks, based on how precipitous the fall was last year.
Yeah, and this is a little unfair. Playing the Saints at the Superdome is never easy. However, they're always bad when they open the season at the Superdome. They never cover. They're losing to the likes of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's weird.
There were no fans. I mean, it was...
Yeah, but they're fans. Yeah, more to my argument, actually, because usually that's a packed, ferocious house.
But one of the ways, because it can be difficult to assess how a quarterback is aging, he goes out there, the name's the same on the uniform, you're looking at him, he looks the same. But this happened Dan Marino's last year. He started throwing so many pick sixes because his mind thought he could throw those outs that his body could no longer throw. And Tom Brady has now had, in the last three games, three pick sixes. Aaron Rodgers had two of those his entire career. Tom Brady's had three in the last three games. There are a couple of quarterbacks that has happened to. Their names are Matt Schaub and Blaine Gabbert. Three straight pick sixes from Tom Brady. That is a bad list for anything. Quarterbacks also, but if I just say the only two people on that list recently are Schaub and Gabbert.
I think the six rings kind of helped, though. I mean,
not on the pick six, Stugatz. I know that you're always going to pick the six rings.